This is the start of a series on, it's something I promised myself to do for a long time, a series which begins at Palm Sunday, Jesus entering Jerusalem and goes right through to the resurrection. So this will take, I would say, in terms of when I get the chance to stand up and speak, this will take, I would say, the next 6 months. All we're doing today is Palm Sunday. And why do it? Well, all four Gospels, it's central to the Gospels, this period of time between Jesus coming into Jerusalem triumphantly and then Jesus resurrected. And I think we pay too little attention to it. This whole period of time when really the earth's future hung in the balance. The Lamb of God was not slain. The King was not risen. And all of this happened in this period of around about a few weeks. And for me, I think, well, let's have a look at this and let's see what we can learn from it. Let's turn and read the first passage today. We could have read from Matthew, Mark, Luke or John. We're going to turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. And when they, that's Jesus and the disciples, drew near to Jerusalem, were come to Bethany, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village over against you, and immediately you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And straight away he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you, meek, sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put clothes on them, and set him, Jesus, upon it. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and threw them on the road. And the disciples that went before and they that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" The multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And then in verse 15. "And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were very displeased. And they said to him, 'Do you hear what they say about you?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yea, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise.'" Father, we just pray that we would hear your word this morning, that we would understand what was happening on this particular day, and that we would let the words that were spoken this morning, Father, enter into our spirit, not just our mind, into our hearts and our spirit. And we would spiritually understand, discern what your word is for us this morning. Amen. Palm Sunday. It's Easter time that this should be coming and not now. But nonetheless, we are going to look at Palm Sunday today. As some of you know, Susie and I lived in Austria, Tirol, Austria, the mountain boarding, snowboarding and mountain skiing area of the world. Really, it's fantastic. Roger, eat your heart out that you weren't born there, being a snowboarder of old. And at Easter time, the first time I saw this, I was flabbergasted. It's, of course, Palm Sunday celebrated up there, and it's before Easter, obviously. It's before the crucifixion. And the first time I saw this, I could not believe my eyes. The little girls and boys go to church, specially decorated by their parents. They're all in lederhosen, all in their little leather shorts and the braces, and the girls in their little dirndls. They look fabulous. And the girls have a yellow blossom. They walk into church with these little bouquets of yellow blossom. What's the tree, Sue? Oh, Sue's got no idea. But Not right now. It's a yellow blossom that comes out every year at this time. So it's very colourful, this yellow blossom. The girls are okay, but it's the boys that you've got to watch. This is fantastic, because the boys are onto a competition. I don't know when this started in Tyrol, but it's a competition that says, at home, before Palm Sunday, you build this long pole, the bigger the better. And you decorate this pole with leaves and vines and all sorts of greenery, and then you tie it with ribbon, and then you put some of this yellow stuff on it as well. Now, these little boys are from ages 5, 6, up to 12, 13. And what their job is to walk from their home through the streets of the city, balancing this pole. And they're holding this pole. Now, of course, their eyes are bigger than what they can hold. And sometimes the boy says, "No, Dad, make it bigger this year. You know, I can handle it." And you see that these little boys, and they're struggling through these narrow Middle Ages streets with these poles and the pole. You just don't get in front of them, because if this pole comes down, you're going to get nonged. It's a fantastic thing to watch. And then, of course, they get to the church. And these churches have these very narrow little doors. And basically, the only way to do it is to lower the pole and go front in to be there and watch. I've actually seen this happen. And then they come into these massive great cathedrals, and these poles are moving all over the church. It's a phenomenal show. And you think, well, this is at least Palm Sunday, Tyrolean Austrian style. And at least they know it's Palm Sunday. You cannot mistake Palm Sunday for Palm Sunday in Austria. Here, you wouldn't have a clue what was Palm Sunday. They celebrate it, and they celebrate it with style. The priest actually gives a reward to the boy who has the biggest pole. Amazing, eh? Fantastic. Colourful. It's competition. But when you look at the story in Matthew 21, you've got to ask yourselves, what was happening here? And when I read this, I had some massive questions. I've said this often as a speaker, when you see questions appearing in your mind, when you read, and I've read this many times, I mean, I was a minister's son, a Presbyterian minister's son, and in the old days we celebrated Palm Sunday. It was celebrated. But when I read the story now, I've got tremendous questions about why Jesus did what he did. Now, whenever you've got questions, there should be some answers. They come from the Holy Spirit. If you have questions in the Word of God, you have got the most brilliant avenue of finding the answer, because you just go to God and say, "God, I don't understand what's going on here. Why have you done that in that way? Why do it that way?" Now, the first question is a big one. And it goes along these lines. Jesus, and this is the feast that's coming up, the feast of the Passover, Jesus always went to a great degree of effort not to appear at this feast, not to make a big show, not to advertise his coming. Low key. Jesus was always low key. He never went out of his way to put on a show. In fact, whenever the show was on, Jesus escaped. There are many, many times in his ministry where the people wanted him to be made king, wanted him to do this and that, and Jesus just, shoom, out of here. Jesus was not into public show. He was not a showman. Never was. And that's very interesting. For the power and the wonderfulness of this man, the Son of God, he never went into the show. And yet here we read one. It's one of the few times you'll see where Jesus actually stage managed, choreographed a show. This is choreographed. I've actually stood on the Mount of Olives and looked at the road that goes up to Jerusalem. And the wall of Jerusalem that's left, there's not much that's left there, but there is a wall there that's left that stretches out to the right. And you come all the way along the wall from looking from the Mount of Olives, and you see the Dome of the Rock, this big golden dome, which you see when you see the picture of Jerusalem. And then just behind that, there's the Wailing Wall. And just beside the actual Dome of the Rock, there's a road still streaking up. And I can imagine from the geography that it's the same road. It had to go there, because the gate's there, going into Jerusalem. Those of you who have seen it will know what I'm talking about. And it's quite a snaky road going up. It just snakes up to the city of Jerusalem. nowadays, of course, buses, cars and everything goes up there, but Jesus was going up, as we see here, in a wonderful choreographed little stage-managed entry. And I wonder why. Why did Jesus go to all this trouble? Why suddenly put on the show? That's the first question. When he avoided attention so many times. Before answering that, let's have a look at another question. What on earth was this statement to his disciples in verse 2? Go into the village over there, and at once you'll find an ass and a tired and a colt. Loose them, bring them to me. Oh, and if anyone says anything to you, you know, just says the Lord has need of them, and the guy will let you have them. I remember hearing that when my father used to read to us every night the Bible, and I remember hearing that and thinking, well, that's interesting. Obviously, Jesus knew the ass and the donkey and the basic owner. He knew them. He knew what was happening here. You can put this into modern language. And if I was Jesus, I'd say in modern language, look, go across there, two streets across, and you'll find a car. It's a Daihatsu, a little blue one, you know, it's a humble little thing. And, you know, just go up to it. The door's open, actually, and just, you know, the key's there, and just drive off. Oh, and if the owner happens to ask you, hey, what do you do with my car? Just say, oh, the Lord's got need of him. Just rip the car off, you know, just, it's fantastic. I mean, this is unbelievable stuff. For me, when I read this today, I think, Jesus, what are you on? Because basically, this is theft. This is basically not my donkey. It's not my donkey. It's not my colt or my ass. And they're tied up. They obviously are somebody's. And Jesus said, just go and take them. And by the way, if it so happens that someone asks you, just say, oh, the Lord's got them. And I'm going to try this one day in Tauranga, you know. You know, I'm just going to walk into a car and someone says, oh, what are you doing with my car? I said, oh, the Lord's got need of it. No. And you've got to say, well, this was stage managed. It's tremendous to see that the Lord had seen this before. And in this story from Palm Sunday through the resurrection, so much of it shows how much Jesus could see before what was happening. Jesus had seen this entry before, just as he'd seen Calvary. He knew what was coming. He knew the preparation. He knew the prophetic word. He knew everything that was happening on this whole scene. And he just prepared and did his thing. Everything was according to plan. And I look at that and say, isn't that our Lord for our lives? He's seen way ahead. We don't know what's coming towards us. Tash and Benno heading out with the big bird. They don't know what's over that horizon across in Sydney land. But the Lord does. Fear not. Fear not, I'm with you. And it's so often I think when we read how Jesus, just on the small incident, knew exactly what was coming, knew he had to have a donkey, of all things. But let's get back to the question, why all the attention? Why did Jesus go out of his way to make a show? Well, the answer is very simple, simply done, of course, but when you look at verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Let's have a look at that. It's Zechariah. It's at the end of the Old Testament, almost. Zechariah 9:9. And here we read, rejoice. I love these words. Rejoice greatly. This is just not rejoice. This is rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Interesting that the ladies were called here. Women are more sensitive to the Spirit of God, I contend always. Women are more sensitive to the Spirit of God. They will lead worship. I once got applauded magnificently in Austria at a women's convention for saying that. I was the only man there. but this is interesting. The woman I've talked of here in Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, why? "Behold, your king comes to you. He is just, and he has salvation. Lowly and riding on an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." And Jesus was fulfilling this particular prophetic word by Zechariah. He was fulfilling it down to the letter. Down to the very letter, he made sure he fulfilled it, including an ass and on a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, when I looked at this and I was studying it and meditating on it, I thought, yeah, it's just not a prophetic fulfillment that we're seeing here. This is Jesus knowing my time has come. Remember how often Jesus said in his ministry, my time has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. And Jesus knew on this particular day his time was come. Why did Jesus never make a show in the other times coming to Jerusalem? Because it wasn't his time. It wasn't the time to put the show on. He came to Jerusalem with his parents. He came on other times during the feast of the Passover, but he never came like this. He came only because he was bringing salvation. His particular entry this time, and I love that part. "Rejoice greatly, O Zion, O daughter of Zion, shout." Why? Because your king is coming to you, bringing and having salvation. And the theme of this morning is really how much joy have we got on a daily basis that our King comes to us on a daily basis and brings us salvation. He rides into our hearts. Today it's been there, today in the service, that our King, our Jesus, lives in us by the Spirit of God. We are the temple of the living God, and our King lives in our dwelling, our earthly body. Fascinating. And that entry is every day, folks. Every day when you take your first breath with conscious eyes open, you know, often it's not so eyes open, but you know, the first time that light comes into your eyes on a daily basis, you should be saying, "This is the King of Jerusalem, just come into my life again. He's guided my sleep, and now, bang, the eyes are open, and I am seeing light again. Boom, there it is. The King is upon my spirit. He's entered." And Jesus knew. He knew that his hour was come, he knew he was going to his death, and he was doing this properly. The Spirit of God was moving in his heart, and Jesus knew, I am bringing salvation for the whole of mankind, for the whole of history. He knew his destiny couldn't be stopped. Let's go back and ask another question from Matthew. Why on earth choose a donkey? You know, apart from the fact that it was prophesied, why choose a donkey? A colt, the foal of a donkey. He was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and he prophetically was tied to Zechariah's word, but here was a king that chose a donkey. This is downsizing. This is not supersizing. This is downsizing so far down you can't believe it. Remember in those days, of course, the height of the and the pedigree of the animal you rode on told everyone the class that you were. And this lasted for a long time. It's still the same, of course. If you see someone driving a Merc or a BMW, you think, oh yeah, sort of swept up in society. You know, this is just part and parcel of the real world out there, isn't it? If you see, you know, when my boss, I can always remember driving my boss's car. It was a 440 Mercedes, powerful as, and I sometimes had to drive it alone. One time he went off on the helicopter and told me to beat him home in Austria. I can remember, and I prayed to the Lord, said, don't let me crash this beast. I mean, it's an enormous power, this Mercedes 440, and it just went like the rocket. And I tried to beat him home, and never show. He went straight. You know, I had to go by the motorway. And I remember clearly, everyone got out of my way. I was going at 160 along the Inn Valley. Susie said, what on earth were you speeding for? Because it's 130, the speed limit. But I was trying to beat my boss. And everybody got out of my way. They saw me coming and I just flicked the lights and they just, pew, because this monster of a Mercedes was just, pew, get out of the way. And of course, this is supersizing it. But Jesus downsized. He went to a donkey. You know, you realize how low a donkey is? Yeah, a donkey is low. It's a lowly thing, and we read in Zechariah that he was lowly of heart, meek and lowly of heart, and here was Jesus choosing the lowest of the low, a colt. It wasn't even a donkey, it was a colt, the foal of a donkey. And he sat on the lowest of the... You can't get any lower than that. You know, this is Daihatsu through Mercedes. You cannot get any lower. And they're looking down on Jesus. Now, if you wanted to make an impression... In these days, you got a big white horse, a stallion, and you sat on the stallion and it pranced and everyone stayed away because the stallion was just big, you know, and you looked down on the people, wave, you know, royal wave. This is what a king did, but not Jesus. Not Jesus, our king. He came the lowest of the low. And for me, this is typically the way the Lord works today. A lot of people want the show. A lot of people want to see big things. They say, when I see Jesus and his royal power, authority, then I'll believe. And all the time, the Spirit of God is very gently knocking on the door of the heart of people. Just a gentle knock. Jesus is still knocking gently on doors of hearts all the time. I believe that sincerely. People just aren't hearing it because he's such a gentleman. He's just knocking and knocking and knocking, and people just aren't hearing it. Some are. You know, wonderful. You know, but Jesus is very gentle, very lowly, very meek. He will not force his will on anybody. And there is our Lord showing it again. He did not come in with the big prancing stallion saying, look at me, I'm the King of Kings. He came as lowly as you like, the gentleman Jesus. There's a wonderful poem, and I tried to find it, couldn't find it, by G.K. Chesterton. It's called The Donkey. And I must find it, but basically I had this in the year 10, fourth form. I remember it in English. We had a teacher who made us study it, and I can never forget it. Now, it's a long time ago. This is 1967, and I can still remember parts of that poem. And basically the gist of the poem is basically saying that this donkey was sort of taken and suddenly felt the load of Jesus upon it and was so proud. It actually is speaking from the donkey. The donkey realizes historically what's happening, and that donkey will live forever. it went through the streets of Jerusalem carrying the Savior of the world, and of all things, a donkey, you know. Crazy, eh? Crazy. But it's our Lord. That's typically our Lord Jesus, the humble Lord Jesus, who waits for us to open up the door, and there he is. So many scoff at Jesus today. They want him to show his power, demonstrate his kingship. But the recognition of the King of Kings comes from conviction by the Spirit of God that Jesus is the King of Kings. Why did the people, next question, why did the people start cutting down palms, taking off clothes, putting them on the ground? Matthew's version sort of says the disciples, you know, that the disciples, they brought the ass and they put their clothes upon, and a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Some of the versions talk about the fact that maybe it was the disciples that started this, but I don't think so. I just think this was a combustion of praise. You know what I mean by a combustion? It was an immediate combustion of praise. Now, I really ask the question, why did the people do this? Spontaneous. Jesus had come in Jerusalem at other times. Yeah, not on a donkey, but he just walked in and there hadn't been any commotion. Why this time? Why this time? When Jesus came in, just riding a very humble donkey, why this time was this spontaneous praise? It just burst out. I like to picture these events. I like to think, well, if you can see Jesus winding up that narrow road, it would have road up into the gates of Jerusalem. The gate of Jerusalem was there. Why this time did the people absolutely go bananas? And look what they shouted out. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And they knew he was just a carpenter from Nazareth. What does Luke say? Blessed be the kingdom. Mark says, blessed is the... This is the versions that talk about what they said. Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. The King of Israel. That was John's version. All the versions have different things that they were saying, and obviously some of the disciples heard different things, but they're calling him the King. The Lord. And the whole city was moved. The whole city was moved. Why? There's only one possible reason for this. For why the people spontaneously began to do this. There's only one possible reason, and that's the only possible reason is that they were moved by the Spirit of God. They were stirred by the Spirit of God and had a revelation of who Jesus was. And that's the only possible two things that can happen when we worship God. You cannot truly worship God unless you are moved by the Spirit of God and you have a revelation of who you're worshiping. Those two things are the focus or the base of worship. You cannot get any worship apart from the fact that suddenly God stirs your spirit and you say, I must worship. I've been in situations where I've just sensed from the music and from the Spirit of God that this is a time I must worship. I can do nothing else but worship. And I think all of us will have had that experience. And added to that is the revelation, you know who you're worshiping. Stirred by the Spirit of God to put down the palms, to take off their clothes and put them onto the road. This was Ticky Tape. This is the Ticky Tape tour, you know. It was phenomenal. And it was because they were stirred by God's Spirit. They could do nothing else. Stirred by the Spirit of God. And a revelation that this was the Son of God, the King of Kings. Now, of course, you do remember that there is going to be another spontaneous outburst of praise and worship that occurs, and it's the second time that Jesus does his entry into Jerusalem. We read that Jesus will stand with his feet on the Mount of Olives. Oh, and there's going to be another spontaneous outbreak of worship. Not everyone will want to join in. The Church of Jesus Christ will. Jesus is going to stand once more and recreate and choreograph. This is going to be a trumpet sound, and there's going to be a monstrous revelation that the King has come again. This is what we're seeing today is just this first entry into Jerusalem. There's a second one coming, folks. Oh, pray God either I see this with my own eyes, relayed through satellite TV, or... I'm up in the spirit world myself with the Father and seeing this happen. I don't care which one it is, because whatever it's going to be, the second one's going to be greater than the first. But this is very, very interesting. Very fascinating that it's this place, this entry, that Jesus first came in and did it. And then he said, well, in the back of his mind, yeah, I'm going to have to go through a lot of pain and suffering for this, but I'm going to come again. I'm going to blow this place apart again with an entry. An entry of such magnificent glory. Look at the fact of what they said to Jesus. This is fascinating. Here, you know, we read, he talks about Psalm 8, verse 2. They said to Jesus, you know, have you heard what they're saying? He said, yes, have you never read out of the mouth of babies and sucklings, you have perfected praise. He basically said that these people are just like babies. They've got no idea what's going on, and they didn't. John's version said that the people had no idea, the disciples had no idea, and the people had no idea. Perhaps we should look at that. It's in John chapter 12. Verse 16. The people had no idea what was going on. They were oblivious, really, to the real essence of what was happening on Palm Sunday. John 12. Verse 16. Or you can see in verse 15, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes, sitting on an ass's colt." And then verse 16, "These things understood the disciples not at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him." At the time, they had no idea. The people had no idea. The disciples had no idea. Only Jesus. He knew what it was all about. And he knew that this whole event could not be stopped, nor could the worship be stopped. It was a spontaneous outburst of praise and worship that could not be stopped and held back. And so Jesus said two things. Firstly, in this Matthew version, he says, you know, it's out of the mouths of babies who have no idea, innocent little babies, and they just cannot stop worshiping God. They cannot stop it. And then look at Luke 19. There's another very interesting aspect that Luke brings out. Luke 19. We'll start at verse 38. Luke 19. Saying, verse 38, Luke 19, 38, saying, "Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." Fantastic, eh? You know, they're shouting out prophetic things and they don't know. It's basically just straight from the Spirit of God. The people are just basically shouting out these things and not knowing why they're shouting them, but they're shouting them. Stirred by the Spirit of God. And some of the Pharisees, verse 39, from among the multitude, said to him, "Master, rebuke, stop your disciples." They said, "This is wrong." Yeah, obvious. And look what Jesus said. And he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace or keep quiet, the stones would immediately cry out." Fantastic, aren't you? How many stones have you actually heard, you know, praising the Lord? Well, you're not listening hard enough. You're not listening hard enough. Yeah, yeah. For me, this is a fantastic statement. The stones, they're babies that are doing it, but they are just innocent little kids just opening their lives up to the Spirit of God and just speaking it out. And if they didn't do it, the stones would start worshipping. This tells me something very, very important. It tells me that when Jesus entered Jerusalem on this particular day, heaven was absolutely going ballistic. The spiritual world was going ballistic because Jesus had turned his face like a flint and decided, "I will not deviate, I will not detour, I will not go left or right, I will do the will of the Father and I will come to Jerusalem with full knowledge that I will be killed on Calvary." And the spiritual world was looking down from heaven and the angels were rejoicing just as much as when Jesus was born. And Jesus heard this heavenly choir singing this phenomenal stuff and he knew he had to do this. And when he came into Jerusalem, the heavens just opened and the people just sang. It's the only explanation, because they didn't know what they were doing. This was a response to what was going on in the heavens. And these people had words put into their mouths that they didn't know where they came from, and they're just beginning to shout them out and rejoice. And there was an outburst of praise that Jesus said cannot be stopped. And I would pray that this would happen in the church again, that there is an outburst of praise and worship that cannot be stopped in your heart and life. What have we learned from this today? It was impossible to stop this worship. Jesus, let's have a look back in summary. Jesus made a conspicuous entry. He fulfilled the prophet Zechariah, but the Spirit of God had prepared the city and the world for the coming salvation. Jesus found a donkey. The humblest form of transport that was known in that world at that time. And yet from that donkey there was this worshipping and worshipping of the Saviour come to save the world. Remember, the donkey was a colt, unridden. Both, I think, Luke and Mark's version stress. It was an unridden colt. There should have been a rodeo show. It should have been, you know, can you hang on for 10 seconds? But no, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, just sat on this donkey, and the donkey went, oh, the Lord of Lords. Fantastic. The donkey was unridden. Had never felt. Had never, ever been ridden. You know as well as I do what happens when that happens. It's a pop, and off we go. An unridden donkey, and the Prince of Peace sits on him, and they just ride through. And the praise just couldn't be stopped. The praise and worship which came to the King of Kings just couldn't be stopped. And I pray that we would have a sense this morning that Jesus rides into our hearts on a gentle donkey every day. And we have got the choice to actually rejoice with him as he rides into our hearts and we ride on with him. We have the choice to rejoice for the entry of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the law, Saviour of all mankind. And that we can say also, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Father, I just pray as we end the service now that you would talk to us in the Spirit of God this day about this entry into Jerusalem. And we would also acknowledge that you are riding and entering our lives on a daily basis. And that like those people, you would give us a stirring of our spirit and you would give us revelation of who you are, and we would also rejoice greatly that you have entered our lives. And we would also cut down the palms and throw down the clothes and say, Hosanna in the highest, to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you. And that we would not let that worship be blocked. We would give that worship to you, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We thank you for this entry into Jerusalem. We pray for that second entry. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, come indeed. Amen.